The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Thursday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on X Spaces sometimes during the show. Syracuse pulls off the sweep of Pitt, and I couldn't be happier about that. I couldn't be happier about seeing that stadium with five people in it. It's back to the petting zoo days from a few years ago, Joe, when we used to joke it then. And then it came back to life in the last couple of years. And then again, just back to the pits. So no pun intended. A quad one win the day of, but the day after the loss to Syracuse, Pitt's going to drop in the net. So now it's a quad two win for the Orange. So you'll hear from us. We'll hear from you in fan feedback. I checked again right before we came on, and Oregon is still technically a quad one win. So, you know, you go out and you beat a quad one team, and because you beat them, they drop in the net, and then now they're not a quad one win anymore. It sucks. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of the good and the bad of it. But, you know, I don't – the way Pitt was playing, I don't know if they bounce back and are able to get back up there, you know, being that we're full-blown conference play now. And, you know, they got Duke coming up. They got Wake Forest, Louisville, Clemson, Florida State. So, NC State twice. So, anyway, we'll see what happens with all that. But a good game for Syracuse to bounce back after the worst loss in conference play since joining the ACC, that being the game against North Carolina.
And, so glad I got to see it in person.
Yeah, like you're a part of history. How does that make you feel?
Sick to my stomach.
So there was points you made and there was points I made during the preview. And not that you and I were tug of war on points, but both of the things we feared, all of it happened. So Baycott, that was just unstoppable. And maybe because he's 30 years old, maybe because he's really good, maybe both. But with that said, I mean, you know, North Carolina is an older team. We're quite a bit younger. And Syracuse just proves again that they're just not ready for the big time. But to my point, they are pretty resilient and not letting a UNC or a Duke beat you twice. They come back and they go ahead and they pull themselves up by their bootstraps and get after it. JJ Starling with a stellar day, led the team in points with 22, I think, or 20. And, you know, I mean, 58% from —
what was this?
Oh, Starling, it was 17. Sorry. 58% from three though. And it, without that, they don't got it. They don't got that game. And Hinson was just, I mean, held in check again. He was held in check for both games. He didn't shoot good against us either game. And, you know, you stifle their best player and you got a home crowd that's less than exciting. And, you know, you've got a, you know, we talk about rivalries, you know, a lot of the younger guys like to talk about, at least a couple years ago, like to talk about Duke being a rival and all this stuff. Like, this Pitt-Syracuse rivalry is just true. And it is something that will never go away, no matter who's on the squad, no how many years have been this rivalry's been played, no matter who's coaching, It's just one of those things. It's heated. It's almost like you put on those two jerseys and play each other, and there's just hatred there. And we saw it. I mean, it's good. I like it when things get chippy, but I think what Hinson did was a dirtbag move, standing over a player like that. Like you're not even allowed to do that shit on a football field, and they're out there hitting one another. You know what I'm saying? Probably could have been, should have been, in my opinion, ejected for that. But, you know, Syracuse comes out on top of that. It shows maturity for these young guys to come out there and compose themselves and go on. I think they went on like an 8-0 run after that and just started to pull away again. So just a good game. I'm worried about what goes on at center. I saw Benny down there. I mean, that's obviously not an ideal situation for Benny or the team. So, surgery for McLeod, I think, has come and gone, and he's going to be out for the rest of the year, obviously. So, the center position going forward, and we knew that McLeod was going to be out, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now we got to shift, right? Because we just got news, obviously, these past couple of days that, Naheem McLeod's out for the season and William Patterson is going to be getting redshirted. So we have Hema, we have Carey, and then the mixture of Malik Brown and if Benny Williams can play a small center anyway. So, yeah, big question mark. And again, to kind of not to go backwards, but the North Carolina game, I know I did bring up my worry was their size and rebounding and how we kind of give up a lot of offensive rebounds anyway. That was obviously, that's what we saw. They killed us in rebounding. They had 19 offensive rebounds. Ingram and Baycott both had double doubles with over 10 rebounds and 10 points. And then they had their two forwards, or their two big guys that came off the bench, both had 6 rebounds apiece with 11 points. So just all 4 of them were just highly successful and throughout the whole game, no matter who was in there. And now we get this news. So, yeah, obviously those bigger teams are gonna pose a different type of problem for us. And even against Pittsburgh, they still had 15 offensive rebounds and they beat us in rebounding.
Yeah, they did.
So I'm glad that we could shoot, 58% from the three. We had 7 different players hit threes, which, I don't know when the last time that's happened on a Syracuse team. But yeah, to your point, they played very tough. They were resilient. And I kind of thought something was going to happen. I remember last game, it wasn't too long ago, Hinson and Judiment and Copeland, they were, talking back and forth, and there were some things going on in the last game. And ever since we shut down Hinson, I think I read a stat somewhere or something that he's just like, because he was something like 45% from the 3-point line coming into the first time we played against him.
2 for 12? What was he?
Coming into the first time we played him. First game, he was like shooting 40-something% from the 3-point line for the season. And then he didn't do great the first game. And I guess up ever since that game, he's been on a cold streak. I think they said something like 6-31 from the 3-point line in the games in between since they played us up to this point. And obviously shot 11 more last night, but they got to figure something out because it's getting to the point now where there was a certain, there's some shots before, like the first time we played Blake Hinson, I figured whenever he could get a 3-point shot off, it was a good shot for him. But, the end of the game, Wednesday night, I'm thinking to myself, like, these are really bad shots for Pittsburgh. So, funny how that perspective changes, after a huge cold streak. But yeah, I mean, it came down to the shooting because the turnovers, it wasn't, a crazy gap. The personal fouls wasn't a crazy gap. The free throw line, it was 9-7. So it came down to shooting and it came down to percentage. And,
if you remember last game, it was free throws that killed Pitt last game.
Yep.
This game, it was us actually hitting our threes. I mean, that's really what it came down to for them anyway. But, Syracuse isn't always going to hit 58.8. percent
no
from behind the arc,
right?
And we had Brown, he's struggled the past couple games, but I don't expect that to continue, but I mean, he had some, I think he had five rebounds. So anyways, just
Mintz had nine.
Mintz had a great game too. Coach said that, you know, he thought this was Mintz's best floor game as a facilitator and just, doing all the things basically. Right. So yeah, five assists.
I think he pressed rebounds on some shots. You know, if you look at the scoreboard or you look at the box score, his stats altogether look good, but the 3 of 13 from, you know, the floor isn't great. Obviously he went 7 of 8 from the free throw line to salvage.
He does this awkward shot thing sometimes that is trying to draw fouls. And it kind of throws him off of his, he's trying to get the foul and it throws his shot off a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And this is kind of what Joe Girard used to do, or maybe even still does a little bit, but you know, he does that and it kind of throws him off a little bit. But with that said, there's no frustration coming from me during that game with Syracuse taking bad shots. Like the UNC game, for instance, okay? Juxtapose the two. Like, it's not even close, right? I mean, it is the difference of control in a game and catching up in a game too. So, but I thought that they took good shots. I thought, how about Starling, dude? Speaking of shots, this dude shoots these mid-range shots that no one else has taken. And it is like, sometimes they're fadeaways. Sometimes, I mean, that is such his game, and he's so good at it. But yeah, when it comes out of his hand, you're like, oh my gosh. And then it goes in. You're like, oh, okay, all right. You know, that happened numerous times against Pitt.
Yeah. So, well, I thought early in the season, I mean, I thought that he showed that he had, you know, a mid-range jump shot, and that, you know, the talk was that he had the range to shoot three-pointers. And I mean, he took the most three-pointers against Pittsburgh for our team. He was 2 of 5. But 7 from 11 from the line, like, yeah, he finished. He made some great mid-range jumpers, and that's kind of what we're missing. You know, we spoke about that. We need to be able to hit outside shots. And to the Malik Brown issue, you know, when you're having such as good success as he is, and he has, like, he's now become part of, like, he's not just going to sneak, you know, down low around the basket and just get wide open shots like he had before, because he really wasn't the big issue, you know, game plan for the opposing team, right? Like, who do we got to stop? Oh, we got to stop these, you know, Chris Bell and Justin Taylor from shooting threes, and Judah and JJ from driving, you know, and then Malik Brown was kind of a, you know, afterthought. You know, he's just a solid player. When he started scoring, now you're starting to see teams that are actually like, okay, we got to stop him on offense. So I think that's realistically what's happening to Malik Brown, and that's what's going to happen, because the opposing team is going to look at who do we have to stop offensively, and let's make these guys score. Let's let that guy shoot threes. Let's let that guy drive, because, you know what I mean, he's not very good at it. Like, you play to their weaknesses, and that's why obviously it's incredibly difficult for Mintz some nights, since he still ends up in a 3 and 13 shooting night, getting to the line 8 times and still getting 14 points. But yeah, you're going to need people like JJ Starling to step up. He needs to do that. These guys coming off the bench, they need to do that. Cuff's got to come in and hit a couple shots when he's in there. I mean, he plays 11 minutes, but he comes in and he made a couple big shots. You know, Kadir Copeland, he's got to still do his thing. He's got to stay, you know, confident and positive. Same thing with Benny. With these injuries, I think we need Benny now more than ever. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where I didn't mind Benny's foul. I didn't mind his technical.
I didn't either.
It's a situation, especially him, where, you know, this team's got to be together.
Show some, you're sticking up for your boys on the ground. He's trying to get up.
Yeah, and
he called a timeout, by the way, too. He was calling a timeout.
Yeah, he was. But we've questioned, you know, how players have acted, you know, and on the bench, and how, you know, good of a team player they are when they're not in the game. And even some coaches, I've listened to, you know, some, you know, I go back and listen to some clips from the ESPN, the local ESPN, you know, in Syracuse radio shows, and they interview the coaches and stuff all the time. But, you know, they always talk about, even if you're on the bench, like, you need to be into the game. You need to be cheering for, because you got to keep you know, you got to keep that drive in there. You know what I mean? If you're just sitting down feeling sorry for yourself, you're not in the game, you're not watching, you're not mentally prepared, then when you go in and you finally get a chance, then, you know, how are you going to react? So that was big for me to see Benny come in and to get him to like old Benny Williams that we used to, you know, question what his deal was and his attitude and this and that. I think he would have just walked away from that. And the other night he got in there and he stuck up for his teammate, played a solid 19 minutes. And, you know, it's just, if he can give us that, I think that he can eventually give us more. I mean, he shot 3 of 4. He was shooting confident, took better shots than North Carolina. So we're going to need him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wish it was.
One thing is we're tough. I mean, we're a tough team.
I think, yeah, I was saying that.
I think we're resilient. I think that, you know, if we lose, we're not going to, you know, let it, that one game, you know, beat us in the next. We're going to move forward from that. I'm excited to see how we can develop Hema and Carey and get them in, you know.
Well, Carey's just a little green. He's kind of slap happy. But
no, yeah. Well, that's the thing. But, you know, but the problem is that now he's up with the ones, right? Or now he's, when they're scrimmaging, he's getting more attention from the coaches, you know. And in season, coaches tend to put more, not to say that they're not coaching everybody, right? But when you know Naheem's going to start and Peter Carey's probably not going to come in, then when it comes down to game planning and working on specific stuff that might work against teams, you know, they're working more with the guys that are going to get the minutes. And those guys are the guys that tend to develop more in season. So, yeah, now that Naheem's out of the picture and Patterson is redshirting, these are your guys. You know what Malik Brown can do, but what can, you know, how can you prepare Hema and Carey and develop them in season to help? Like you said, they're both kind of green. We don't know. Hema, we saw flashes last year where we thought he could.
He's less green than Peter Carey, but I mean, Peter Carey played 7 minutes, got 4 fouls.
Hey.
But, I mean, the fouls to give.
Did you hear the coach?
No. I mean, I listened to it, but what did I miss?
Well, it was just funny. He was like, you know, Peter, I thought he came in and he played well. We needed his fouls.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's true.
Like, no, yeah. I mean, we needed
the fouls because, you know, we had Malik Brown in trouble early. And, you know, that's exactly where there was bodies. I don't remember who it was anymore, but there was someone we used to throw down there when I think Chukwu got in trouble and we're like, oh yeah, it's just extra fouls, you know, cause that's what he basically came in for. Chukwu gets in trouble. Someone came in, took the fouls, and then, you know, at 10 minutes later, Chukwu's back in. So, but yeah. Well, let's head over to Twitter here at @CuseWaterboy2. Keep building. Syracuse beats all the teams it should. And as they continue to gel, we'll knock off one of the big boys. And, you know, to this point, Syracuse is just, they're chalk, like I keep saying. I mean, they're doing, I think, what they're supposed to be doing. With that said, though, it's not easy to beat a team twice, and it's not easy to beat any of these ACC teams at home. Fortunately for us, Pitt's crowd stunk. And, you know, other than the beginning of the game, Syracuse took them out pretty quickly. And, you know, I really do think that, you know, you compare that Pitt crowd to the past couple years is night and day. I mean, you know, it has its ups and its downs, and let's be honest, so do we. So, but yeah, they're beating the teams that they should. And I want to get against one of these big dogs and not be totally out of our league and embarrassed. You know, cause that UNC game was, I mean, I got you and buddies of mine that are UNC fans that don't usually say anything, but were dogging the piss out of us. So, one of them was at the game. So anyway, let's see. At Dave Super, pleasantly surprised they could have easily folded after the UNC game. I was afraid the season was going to spiral after seeing that poor effort and negative body language. Hats off to coaches for lighting a fire under their asses. Let's effing go. So look, they could have easily folded. We talked about that. They could have easily folded after Duke. You know, they haven't, they lost two in a row once, this season, but that was that tournament, and they've bounced back at each of these losses that were pretty brutal. So it's good to see, like we said, the resilient, you know. One thing I'll say about the UNC game, man, I was very, very sad in the effort in that game. And I know for them that it probably felt like a 60 or 80 minute game than a 40 minute game, but it was disheartening. So, and I'm just calling it like I see it. And look, I was hoping for a running clock or something. As embarrassing as that would be, it was embarrassing anyway. Let's just get it over with. So, anyway. Oh boy, at Oil Cues. Hell yes, this is awesome. F Pitt and their annoying fans. Actually, it didn't look like they had many fans there. I remember the old days of the Big East when they would have a full house. Yeah, I mean, maybe it was a snowstorm there or something. By the way, Captain Patrick texted me laughing about how Corey Alexander, one of our favorite broadcasters, kept wondering why the crowd was booing Judah. Well, this crowd really doesn't like Judah Mintz. I don't know why. What he must have done for them to boo him like this. And Patrick texted me saying, well, hey, dumbass, he decommitted from Pitt to go to Cuse. So, hello. By the way, a kind of a classless move, too, not to mention. Like, I'd be embarrassed if our fans were booing a decommit. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
They're only booing them because they got the worst end of it.
Well, yeah, know? Obviously. Yeah, anybody would be pissed to watch Judah playing for anybody if he decommitted from them.
Well, they were probably happy in the beginning because Dior Johnson, you know, I mean.
Oh yeah, that's right. We were looking for that matchup. Remember where we talked about that? We're like, man, I can't wait for Dior Johnson and Judah Mintz to face off Syracuse yeah. Pitt. And homeboy never saw the floor. That's too bad. at Drew Cuse, nice effort tonight. Breakout game for JJ. I mean, it was his best game. We've seen what he could do. Especially inside the arc, right? I mean, he's got a good jump shot. He's got a killer jump shot. And it's pretty to watch. It's scary at first until it goes in. At No Blanchard 44, was this hostile environment we're supposed to be worried about? We shot the lights out for once and played good enough defense. I'm proud of the guys for putting the UNC game behind them and focusing on the task at hand. Next up, Miami in the Dome. Need it to be packed. Yeah, Miami. I think we're same record as Miami, too. 12-5, 3-3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be, you know, it's a tough go on the road, I think, for anyone in the ACC, and I think that bodes well for us. What is this game? Saturday at noon?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. Syracuse can wake up a little bit. I know the weather's not supposed to be great.
Well, it doesn't matter. They play in a dome.
Yeah, I know, but you got to drive there, right? Well, the roads are bad. You know how that goes. Well,
yeah, Hochul might suspend it.
Easy.
No, there's a lot on Facebook, too, about, you know, obviously JJ came up big, played as a team, talking about how they bounced back from, you know, I'm not going to read every single one of them, but how they bounced back from an ugly game against UNC. Let's see, some with some meat. So, Michael, the team played very well today. Benny had some arc on those jumpers and fought for the ball. It was encouraging. I thought Carey gave them good limited minutes, too. We won by double figures with 2 points out of Malik. Good win. Everyone contributed.
Yeah, those 2 points for Malik, I think, were the first two of the game, if I'm not mistaken. isn't that right? I think it was.
I do not remember.
I thought it was. Maybe it wasn't. I thought it was a dunk, like, first points of the game to Malik Brown. Almost positive. Mm. There was another part of that I was going to say something about. What was the beginning of that?
Benny had some arc in those jumpers and fought for the ball.
That's it. How about that Copeland 3-point buzzer beater? That thing had some arc on it. Did you see that thing?
Oh yeah,
that was pretty awesome. That was kind of a big shot for that being that early in the game too. I feel like that. I mean, that was demoralizing for some. Some being yeah. Pitt. let's just call him Austin. Oh, A. Burghardt 01. Good shooting performance. Starling was money and Copeland playing with aggression. Glad this team got a win. After the losses we take, they always find a way to get back on track. Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of that in here. I think that that's one thing you can say about this team for sure is how resilient they are and how good they are at just fighting back. You know, we didn't see them fighting back against Duke. UNC, you got to be perfect to even be in those games. I mean, those teams just aren't they're just not going to have bad games. And the chances are if they do, it's not going to be against Syracuse. So, because that's not our luck. So, you know, I mean, we've been lucky enough this year. I feel like you could look at Pitt the other night and say, you know what, Pitt had a bad game. And they were missing stuff so close to the rim. It looked like last year's Syracuse team. So, I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, they were not doing well. What did they shoot from the floor? 35.4%.
Yeah. I thought that we moved the ball better as a team. And I mean, we had a lot of open shots. So like you said earlier, it was good shot selection. We didn't take a lot of bad shots. So it's a little bit easier to shoot a good percentage when you're shooting good open shots.
Yeah, well, because Pitt's defense just wasn't that impressive. I mean, Syracuse is able to pretty much do what they wanted to do, and you don't always get that. So I think this whole year so far, Syracuse has done a really good job of moving the ball on offense. I mean, there was a couple games early where they were standing around a little bit, but it's not like, I mean, juxtapose it to last year.
No, yeah, I mean, that's the last couple of years, something completely different. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that just against some of the teams with better talent, the better teams and the ones we've lost to, I think once we get down a certain amount of points and it's a certain point in the game, then that's when we start pressing and going fast. And I think a lot of people sometimes do too much and they're trying to do too much, and that results in bad shots. And then I think that we've seen that in every game that we've lost this year. So it's one of the keys right there. Just don't get in that position, right?
Right, exactly. And that's just it, though. I mean, it's easier said than done. But
when
you do, it just depends on the team you're playing, you know? I mean, you remember last year in this game almost went this way. Was it Pitt last year that came back and beat us twice after we had some pretty
I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but I know what you're talking about. There was, for one game, we were up a lot.
It was like 17 or something like that, or 17 mm-hmm. or 19, and they came back to win. And last year it was Miami. We had a hell of a lead on Miami last year, and they came back to win. That was a game we really could have used at the time. So, you know, last night it kind of looked like that again. That's one thing that Syracuse really hasn't done this year is blow a lead. They've been able to finish games. And that's not something we could say they were doing a couple years ago, or last year, or a couple, you know, the last few years.
Well, so, I mean, we've blown leads, but we finished the game.
Well, right. We've blown.
Boston College blew a lead, right?
But yes.
You're talking about blowing.
About blowing a lead and just collapsing and losing.
Yeah.
It's good to see. And like I said, it's kind of like winning the games you should win, and you know, losing the games that no one's expecting you to win anyway. Not that that's good. I think we need to have one to hang our hats on. But like Cuse Waterboy said in the comments, I mean, if you keep knocking these ones down, I think it's bound to come. But, you know, it ain't easy in the ACC. It's still one of the best basketball conferences out there. I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
At Breaking Orange 44, if Benny can play like this every game, it would be a huge lift. JJ's shot is coming around nicely, especially in the mid-range. Brown needs some help down low. Well, Brown's the best option down there, so what is that going to tell you? I mean, yeah, he needs help. He needs, Peter Carey to develop soon. So, look, It's probably not going to be this year, but he'll come into his own. Remember when we used to not, we didn't used to make fun of him, but we talked about Jesse Edwards. Like, oh my gosh. You remember?
Yeah.
Like, he's so big and he's got this frame on him and he's just so weak with the ball. Like, what are you doing? It's like, and then he just 180'd it on us, you know? And who knows? Peter Carey.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Carey could be the next one, you know? Naheem McLeod, we were looking, really, really looking for that. 7'4". I mean, come on. That sucks.
It's, oh, yeah.
That sucks. So.
Because, I mean, there's games like North Carolina where we could have used him. I feel like that would have been, like, where we would have saw that he, I think, where his value could have been.
Yeah, because, but, yeah, because exactly. Baycott's just going to hang around down there anyway.
Yeah.
So, all right, Joe, if you got anything else from Facebook, finish it up. But that is all I got from Twitter.
Okay, yeah. So basically just a couple ones, a little bit more now. I'll do the negative one first. Brian from Facebook, it was necessary. Don't like how many rebounds we gave Pittsburgh on the offensive glass, but nice to see we can make three-pointers on occasion against a scrub team. We've got to win 6 of the next 8 with a good win in the mix to be in the dance conversation. Winning tonight definitely is a good step.
What did we talk about? Ken Pomeroy had us at preseason.
Preseason
predictions. Yeah, 9 and something. I mean, you know, we got a couple more on the schedule that are, you know, completely winnable games. This Wake Forest team is something else, huh?
Yeah, Wake Forest and even Georgia Tech. I watched them come back. They were down like, I want to say something like 7 or 9 points in a minute and a half against Clemson, came back, went into double overtime, actually ended up winning the game.
And we got to play Boston College again, too.
Yep.
So
then, so last one, my brother Alex, first quad one win, it feels like in 3 years, LOL. And of course, as we all know, he said that before we knew that was going to drop out of quad one win. But
I was wondering, it was right on the cusp. So,
yep. And he says, and huge bounce back from Carolina, who I knew would kill us, but we bounced back. So far, this team is doing what it needs to do to keep the resume tournament ready.
Yeah, can a resume that's basic get you into the tournament? No bad losses, no good wins.
I mean, define a good win, though.
Well, I mean, it's got to be somewhat taken into consideration what the net rankings are, right? I mean, define a bad loss. You know, you got to go by record, placement in the ACC. By the way, you know, it's the time of year to start looking at that stuff. We're halfway through the year.
Yeah.
So I don't do, if you're asking me what they look at, no one knows.
Right.
No one
knows. But what I'm saying, let's just put it this way. I mean, realistically, the Oregon game is a big one. You know, obviously getting this game on the road is a big one. But right now, being 12-5, I mean, 17 games in, this is the best record we've had in our first 17 games since the 2018-2019 season when we were 12-5. And we went to the tournament that year. So you look at some of these other seasons. I mean, even last year, you know, after 17 games, we were 11-6. But that 3 of our losses was St. John's, Bryant, and Colgate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we already started the ACC play and gotten to deep into the season with a big old, you know, couple big smears on our resume, right? Right now, I mean, you can say one thing or another, but I don't think you can say our non-conference strength of schedule wasn't hard. You can't say that we didn't go in a neutral court and beat a solid squad like an Oregon. So, realistically, you can poke little holes in certain things, but like you said, I mean, we haven't, it's just how we still are at this point where we don't know how good we are.
I think,
like, where, how good are we? I don't know. Are we good? Are we bad? I mean, because we are beating decent squads. I mean, Pittsburgh, Boston College. I mean, they might not be the upper echelon of the ACC, but they're still solid schools.
We're middle of the pack ACC team. I mean, it's clear to me. I mean, we're right there at mediocre. You got to have one come to you, though. You got to get that big one. I mean, and I'm just looking at, if you just look at beating, just look at it. If you look at beating Pitt twice and, you know, the Oregon game, we all know has an asterisk, but Boston College, if you can beat them at home, we're playing them at home, right? Next. No, yeah, we are. So if you can pull those sweeps off, I mean, that's good. But you go play a Duke and you play a North Carolina and get blown out both times. I mean, it just shows you like what tier you're at, and you're not near that tier. So you're kind of in the middle. You know, I mean, there's teams like Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame's not doing great, you know.
We're at Boston College next to
them. Yeah. Notre Dame's 7-11, you know. Virginia Tech 10-7. You know.
Oh yeah, there's definitely some squads that we thought would be, I mean, Virginia Tech's down a little bit. Florida State is 5-1, albeit they haven't really.
I think the real test is going to be, I think a good test for Syracuse is going to be Clemson. I know they dropped out of the top 25, but that's going to be a good gauge. Cuz Clemson's a good team.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a bunch of gauges, right? I mean, you look at the next 7 games in the ACC, none of them are ranked. So only one that we've played is Boston College. I think the next 3 games are realistically the biggest. I mean, that's going to kind of separate it right there, because they're all home games. Home against Miami, home against Florida State, home against NC State. And when you look at the ACC standings, you're talking about Florida State and NC State are both 5-1 currently right now in the ACC. So they're up there right behind North Carolina in second and third, tied for second in the ACC. So, and obviously Miami being a Final Four team last year. I know they lost a couple of players. We'll get to that in a minute, but they're still a solid squad too. I mean, they started out the season in ranked, so preseason ranked. So,
yeah, I mean, they're still not terrible. They've just, well, let's just get into it right now. You're talking about Miami. Just get into it right now.
Yeah.
The all-time series between Syracuse and Miami sits at 20-12 in favor of the Orange. Miami, though, they're on a 3-game win streak. Past 3 games kind of handled us a little bit. I mentioned the one last year, ended up losing 82-78. Mintz, Girard, Edwards, Bell, and Williams, your starting 5. Edwards, 25 points and 11 rebounds, and Girard with 21 points. And that was the game we had a pretty healthy lead and ended up blowing it. These Syracuse Orangemen were 13-5 versus Miami Hurricanes in the Big East Conference. Miami was the first team Syracuse would play in as an ACC member on January 4th, 2014, with the Orange winning 49-44. Real barn burner there. The first time the two teams met was in 1963. Syracuse would upset the favored Hurricanes and their star Rick Barry, 86-85 in overtime, with Dave Bing leading the way for the Orangemen with 29 points, all that from orangehoops.org. Miami, like I mentioned earlier, they're sitting 12-5, 3-3 in the ACC. They got wins over Notre Dame, Clemson, and Virginia Tech, and losses to Wake Forest, Louisville, and Florida State. Currently, they're 6th in the ACC standings, and Syracuse is currently 7th. So, right there in the mix of all this, honestly, to some degree. There's 4 guys shooting over 40% from 3 for Miami. Wooga Poplar, 47.6%. He's 40 for 84. Matthew Cleveland at 42.6%. He's 20 for 47. Nigel Pack, who's 41.8%, 33 for 79. And Keyshawn George, who is 42.6%, 29 for 68. So that worries me. Their top 4 scorers are Norchad Omier with 17.2 points a game, Wooga Poplar 15.9, Cleveland with 15.5, and Pack with 14. Those 62.6 points a game are good enough for 75% of Miami's average scoring per game. So, got some scores, and we all know who Nigel Pack is, and we all know who Norchad Omier is from last year. It's his second year too. So As a team, they're hitting 49.1% from the field, 77% from the line, and 39.6% from three. So I keyed in, this is going to be probably the best three-point shooting team that I think we're going to be facing up to this point. So can they hit like they've been hitting? Can they stay consistent? I don't know. But I feel like this year we've really had some decent luck with stopping these guys shooting the way they've been shooting coming into games against us. Now, there's four of them, though, that are over 40%. So things are a little bit different when you talk about four of them. You got one or two, okay. We got four of them. Who knows how that can go. And with our luck, well, you know. So, Joe, I don't know what you got. We had some guys leave, right? We had,
So they lost, Isaiah boy, Wong,
yeah,
and,
Isaiah Wong.
Jordan Miller. And realistically, two of the bigger impact player guys, obviously just for their team that went to the Final Four last year, but also against us, Isaiah Wong, obviously he was, the captain, the guy that's been their leader. But Jordan Miller was that guy that was that glue guy that he played in the middle of that 2-3 zone right at the free throw line. And Ormir, he played this, obviously the baseline, and they got a lot of easy buckets. I believe Jordan Miller, I want to say he had a triple double against us last year, playing in there.
Yeah, wasn't it some record he broke too or something like that?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. So obviously they return Ormir and Poplar and Peck in the starting rotation from last year from a Final Four team. They brought in Matthew Cleveland, transfer from Florida State, who's pretty solid player. He's one of their better players over there, to come in and kind of take Jordan Miller's spot. And then obviously Bensley Joseph, who's I think one of their first guys off the bench, plays pretty good defense. He's now in the starting rotation, is 6'2" guard. If we were still playing 2-3 zone, I would be a lot more worried about this game. I think that when you look at how this whole team kind of stacks up, the freshman Keyshawn George is 6'8", but he's a guard, so like you said, he shoots a lot of threes, so he's out there in the perimeter a lot. And then obviously I know that they bring in, they have a freshman center from Canada, 6'10", Michael Nwoko. And I believe they bring in A.J. Casey, a sophomore, 6'9" forward every once in a while. But Ormir, he's a big guy, 240, but he's only late listed at 6'7".
6'7", yeah.
So I think that, there is going to be a situation where Malik Brown, with his length, will be able to give him problems. Obviously, his big body and getting in position could give Malik Brown problems. But overall, when you want to talk about height and the fact that they are probably going to go to, three guards, four guards set, it kind of matches up for who we play in our roster, right? They got their starters. When you look at Pack, 6 foot, Bensley Joseph, 6'2", Poplar, 6'5", and Matthew Cleveland, 6'7". So, with Ormir at 6'7". So I think that matches, we match up pretty well against them. And with the amount of depth that we have versus the depth they have, then I think that kind of gives us an upper hand. And they are also on they've lost three out of the four last games in the ACC. So they're on a little bit of a slump, and they got to come up to snowy Syracuse to try to get out of that. Obviously this matchup, just like I'm sure, the next podcast we have when we have our pregame about Florida State and how in the beginning of the season we probably thought they were going to be near the bottom and we weren't worried about them. I think that Miami, I think they were looked at as, one of the better teams right after, Duke, North Carolina, and right in the same, conversation with Virginia and Clemson. And these last four games, I don't think, they've really been playing up to their capabilities. So, it's a team that obviously can get hot and hit threes to what you spoke about with the stats that you threw out there. But just as far as against us, I think that we actually match up pretty well.
They got this. Florida State's got the that VCU transfer, Jameer Watkins. He's leading almost every category for their team. So,
yep.
You know, it gets a little different when you, I mean, look, I'm not taking anything away from, but it gets a little different when you got that one guy. You know, I know Miami has a few guys, and I totally agree and understand the point about the playing man instead of zone with this is obviously much better, right? I mean, you're going to get torched if you play zone against this. But I will say that, you know, I just am always cautiously optimistic in this situation. When I see those kind of numbers, those are big numbers.
Yeah.
So, and to your point, but though, I mean, feel like it's a good matchup. Like, I feel like it's a good matchup. And you know, maybe for the first time in three games, we can take home one, especially being that it's at home. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you got to be honest with your roster and your capabilities. You know, the past couple years, you know, we've worried about the athleticism at the guard position, right? But we really weren't worried about center because Jesse's been holding down the fort. You know, we lose a couple guys, bring some guys in, you know, change a coach, team turns over a little bit. You got to kind of look at your depth and what you have. And in the beginning of the season, I thought we were in a situation where we pretty much had the depth and the personnel to play against any type of team. Obviously, we found out that, you know, Nyheim McLeod was a little bit more raw than we thought he was, and that we assumed he'd come along as the season went on. And then, you know, there was some positives. You know, he's got a bunch of blocks for the amount of minutes that he has. But now that he's out for the season, and we see what we got on our roster, and we see what happened against North Carolina. You know, now there's certain teams where you look at them and they're like, wow. You got size and you play physical like that, that's going to be tough no matter what your record is against us. Because, I mean, obviously sports is a game of matchups. So now looking at this situation, it's like, okay, well, I'm not worried about, you know, getting crazy out rebound, right? So, you know, there's that port.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. I'm be honest, I haven't watched any Miami games.
I have not either.
So I haven't been able to watch them actually play. I'm just going off of what's on paper. And when you go off of what's on paper, sometimes it can be a little different than what reality is, right? So,
Yeah. Well, and that too, and the fact of, like, I mean, I know that three-pointers isn't everything, but if you had those three or four players, they've been shooting 40% from the three-point line, then it's hard for me to I'm sitting here wondering how they've lost three of the last four.
Well, I mean,
and
that's a good
point.
Because
they're shooting maybe bad, they're trying then what to... were they shooting before?
Yeah. And no, I totally get it. And it's just, I think Syracuse fans like me have, you know, 3-point bucket PTSD. And you're right. A lot of that was zone stuff. But with that said, when someone gets hot, someone gets hot. But this year, people have not had good luck. The defense has been good enough to stop it. So, what did we say last game? Oh, we didn't do Pitt. We did do UNC.
No,
we did do UNC, though, and we both were terrible.
No, I mean, you probably won because I had us, I think.
I would. I would have.
Single digits.
Yeah, I had it 10 points. What was it, 36?
Boards.
Huh? Was it? Was it 36?
And it's the spread not to be named.
Worst loss
ever
since joining the ACC conference. It sucks. Okay, so here's the deal. At home, like I said, I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but I'm hoping that the crowd shows out. It is conference play, and I think there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of excitement around this team. I think there's a lot of excitement, just people getting excited for what's going on with the football team and the women's basketball team. And I think that, you know, we're going to get a decent crowd out there. So, and this is a big, I think this is a big game. It's a big game. I won't say it's a must win, but I feel like it's one of the games we should win. And because I don't know what Miami's going to do the rest of the year, but I want this one. So, especially since they beat us the last three games. So, I'm going to say it's a little difficult. Both of us have been terrible at scores. I'm going to say basketball is tough. 78-74, 78-75 Syracuse. They haven't had many of those like cardiac Cuse games this year. In fact, I can't think of one.
Can you? Colgate was pretty rough.
Yeah, it wasn't a cardiac Cuse game though. It was exciting though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like a, you know, it comes down to final possession, game's tight type stuff, you know. Those are the
worst. I don't want to come down to any of those.
Huh?
I don't want to come down to anyone. Didn't we lose a game like that last year early?
Oh, dude, you're racking my brain from last year. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. I'm sure there was a situation.
I'm sure there was.
I know there was a situation where there was like a charge called on Judah against North Carolina last year, and then I think something else happened at the end of the game one time. I think it was against Miami as well. So, no, I like our chances too. And I honestly, my score was going to actually be very, very close to yours, but I'm going to go a little bit higher with offense. So, I'm going to go Syracuse 81 and Miami 74.
Okay. All right. Good. We shall see what happens. Okay.
Well, hopefully. Again, a noon game on Saturday to set the table.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a huge fan of the noon games myself, but it's okay. That's my errand running time. But I guess that shall be interrupted. Plus, my 9-year-old has a birthday party he was invited to. That's always fun. When is it? Saturday? Yeah. What time is it? Noon? Come on. So I don't know if I'll be live. Here's the thing. I always say I don't know if I'm going to be live, but I have on my I will be that guy at a kid's birthday party watching basketball on my phone. It does not embarrass me at all. I don't care. And if anyone asks, I'll tell them what I'm doing. Because I don't care. It is what it is. I mean, hey, I'm here. Be happy I brought the damn kid. You know what I'm saying?
Bocce? It's for the kid, right?
Yeah, it's not for me. What the hell do I care? I get your kid a gift. I brought my kid. I'm going to watch my game. You don't mind. So, whatever.
What, you don't want to mingle?
No, I'll mingle. Frick. All right. That is going to do it for us. Yeah, I'm the mingler. That's going to do it for us. We should be back here Sunday. Sporadic absences. We apologize. But we should be back here Sunday. We'll talk about Florida State. We'll talk about Miami. For Joe, Sean, we're out.
Peace.